The teacher was just like, oh, it sounds like Mario's here. It's like, oh, you just got told.
That's a great story. It's that kind of entertainment that keeps us having to resort to you coming back every week.
Bullet Club. For life.
Once again for tuning in to the flagship show of the Podzilla 1985 Network, the crown jewel of the kingdom, as it were, Pro Wrestling Unscripted, with me, your host, Shannon Young, and with me as always, Mr. 100 is me, not you, you're the five-star man.
It's true.
Botchamania.
Was that an Adam Pearce reference?
Who?
Adam Pearce, the crown jewel of ECW?
No, ooh. But I wish it was now.
I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Good pull.
Five-star man, Asa Gray here with me as always. Also, Dalton Manch of the One-Man B-Team. Whoop! I love that name. That's going to stick around forever. And joining us tonight, so she doesn't have to sit around without a microphone and get bored, because she can't jump in and talk about wrestling, we don't have a nickname for her. A-Bomb. I've heard it thrown around. Allie A-Bear. Hello again.
Hello.
Fresh off your religious wrestling episode.
And we're going to explain how wrestling is today.
I thought you were going to get into that, like, the Masked Priest movie.
I actually wanted to mention that at some point because that is the weirdest thing in the world to me.
No, they did it before. It was Nacho Libre.
Yeah, well, now it's like a serious thing. I don't understand it. But no, we're going to talk about that. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, including Sting going into the Hall of Fame. Yep. We got some Bullet Club news. We're going to talk about Raw. We're going to talk about injuries. We're going to talk about CM Punk. We got a lot of stuff on our plate. Let's start off with, to me, the big news of the week. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. Sting going into the Hall of Fame, the first inductee in the 2016 class. And it's a big story for me because I'm a big Sting fan. You remember how excited I was when Sting fought Triple H at WrestleMania?
When he first walked out at Survivor Series.
Oh, yes. I think I salivated over somebody. I don't remember who.
I remember
who got salivated.
Yeah. One of my friends was just like, oh, I have an extra ticket. You should go. And I was having a really busy schedule at that point. And because Survivor Series was in St. Louis. And I was like, nah, I'm going to skip out. It's probably not going to be that good. Because I didn't read the internet that week.
You got to keep up with the internet.
And then Sting showed up, and I was watching it with Brittany, and I was like, son of a bitch. The first time Sting ever was on WWE, and I could have been there.
If you had known what was going to happen eventually, though, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
If we had known what Sting was in for whenever he started that, because at first he came in like a house on fire. I think is a term that someone uses, right?
And somewhere.
I have to check with Tanner.
And then went out.
He's a firefighter.
And then went out like one of the back of the truck things with little kids peeing on it.
Oh, he had one good match, in my opinion, with Seth Rollins. With your boy, Seth Rollins, Cody Lopez.
The Triple H match could have been better if they didn't try to shoehorn the DX versus NWO.
The big gimmick.
And then the insanity of Triple H cheating to win. Which was Sting's huge problem with Triple H is that, you know, he was dishonest and a cheater. And then they shook hands afterwards because why?
I also have a problem with the fact that the NWO helped Sting.
Right. They spent the entire time feuding with each other.
They hated each other. That was the point. Ugh. And then they come out to help to fight DX.
And even in going deeper than they hated Sting, NWO worked for WWE. They were sent there to destroy WCW.
It's true.
So now they're fighting to preserve WCW's... Okay, nope.
Go ahead.
I was okay with that match. I was okay with everything. I was okay with... Well, I wasn't completely okay with Sting losing. But I didn't like that... After the whole match, Triple H comes out and then brags about beating Sting after he just shook his hand. I'm cool with everything until that.
That was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, because it was just like, oh, I'm showing a big sign of respect now. Fuck everybody. Like, that's how that went down, I get that Triple H is supposed to be a heel half the time.
Yeah, true heel.
But.
You know about that.
We got over it. Anyway.
I do really like that Triple H thought the baseball bat was basically a shotgun. Like, every time Sting would just hold it up to his neck and he'd just be like, whoa, hey, no.
Yeah. We can't even joke about that. Oh, no. that whole thing, I would rather block it out of my memory, but. It doesn't matter what happened then. They're going to put him in the Hall of Fame. That is deserved.
Oh, yeah. Because even, like, you know, people can argue that, oh, but he wasn't in WWE. It's like, well, it's still WCW.
Yeah.
Because, and so his WCW career alone absolutely merits it.
Yeah, because that video package that they did for Sting, which was a great video package, by the way, that went over his history and, you know, the NWA and WCW and stuff like that. If it would have just been for his WWF career, it'd been very short. But there was a big 16-year gap between the close of WCW and the start of his WWE career. I didn't see any video from that.
Oh, he was in the indies. He was on the James.
No, he didn't even do that. He just kind of
sat at home.
He disappeared.
Yeah.
They don't, you know. What did they call him when he wasn't the vagrant. Like,
he was the vigilant.
The vigilante.
The vigilante.
Yeah, the vigilante.
Basically, he was basically the Shield by himself. Except the Shield won.
Right, except not... Except
hey, he won one match on Raw when he teamed with Cena.
Anybody can win a match when they team with Cena.
He has the second worst record ever in the WWE Hall of Fame next to Pete Rose.
He has the same record as God at WrestleMania. Or no, God wasn't at WrestleMania, was
no.
he?
No. Oh, God, no. No, no.
No, God.
God, no.
They couldn't afford him. They couldn't afford God at WrestleMania.
Who can they afford at WrestleMania at this point? Because they got to bring someone in.
I don't know. They do. It's getting pretty bad. I actually had down lower on the list. We're going to talk about injuries, but we can just jump into that right now. But before we do that, who else do you see going into the Hall of Fame this year? Do you have any names off the top of your head?
The biggest one to me that stands out immediately is Rick Rude.
Yeah.
And then also Jim Johnston.
Jim Johnson.
He's like, for what, as much shit as we give WWE and the Ultimate Warrior, but like that, the Warrior Award, Jim Johnson should be the poster boy for that.
Now tell everybody who Jim Johnson is.
He is the man who just about single-handedly made every single superstar from before the Attitude Era until just recently, and he's still working with guys like the CFO and, or CFO Money or whatever they're called.
So you're talking about music.
Yeah, he made the music for everyone.
There's been one thing that has been constant for me with WWE is that versus every other federation out there is the music.
Absolutely.
WWE music. How long has it been? And I still catch myself slipping into WWE.
Get the F out, man.
I'm trying. But so many years, and the music is so much head and shoulders above everyone else. WCW, I can remember three themes from WCW. I can't remember.
I know what all three of them are.
Go for it.
Sting.
Yes.
Four Horsemen.
Yes.
Hulk Hogan. Or, well, NWO.
You miss one.
Really?
American
Males. Damn it. As soon as I knew it.
the greatest theme.
Like the Crow Sting or A Man Called Sting?
Of course the Crow Sting.
Oh, I love A Man Called Sting. That's the dumbest song ever.
Hipster motherfucker. Just mute his mic. Just turn it off.
So I have a problem with my computer where the screensaver comes on every 30 seconds. So I have to constantly move it. And I don't know why. The good thing is I have a Star Wars screensaver, so it shows me the Battle of Hoth. But, you know, that gets annoying right now. All right, so Dalton, Hall of Fame. Who do you got? Anybody in particular?
The Freebirds.
The Fabulous Freebirds.
Fabulous Freebirds, yeah.
I think now's a good time to induct them with everything happening in Oregon and everyone being, we're killing black people.
Well, no.
Let them come out in a Confederate flag tie.
Oh, just the full thing, yeah.
Because he had the cape. When we rewatched the Legends Battle Royal from whichever WrestleMania that was from, he comes out in the giant, he came out in the Confederate flag cape.
And that wasn't offensive.
The Heritage flag.
Heritage, not
Heritage
hate,
flag.
Lisa.
But yeah. No, if you watch, like, if you go back to the network and watch the Legends of Wrestling and stuff like that, anyway, when you watch the Legends
Don't look
of Wrestling,
at me, boy, talk.
a joke that always gets said is Jim Ross is like, Michael Hayes, or he says future Hall of Famer every time he says Michael Hayes, should be in the Hall of Fame for all the work he still does for the WWE. He's one of the head agents there.
It's easy to make fun of Michael Hayes for everything he's done.
Right.
With the whole Mark Henry N-word thing.
God, that's...
Which was, yeah.
Which gave us the Hall of Pain, really, because that's what pushed Mark Henry into
was the reward.
The World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
You have to imagine, like, that wasn't just going to be...
No, it was like when Blue Meanie got beat up by JBL. All of a sudden, Blue Meanie's winning matches.
And then Stevie Richards attempts to murder JBL with that chair shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go back and watch that Raw match, and, oh, it's gross.
Deserved.
Super deserved, but
deserved.
Still, like, who?
Dalton, I think it's a good chance for us to introduce one of our new segments to the show. Teach a Noob About Wrestling.
Okay. I love that that's the title.
I want you to tell Allie about chair shots and what we're talking about and why that's no longer allowed.
All right, so have we told you about the Chris Benoit thing?
I don't know.
The one wrestler that, like, freaked out.
Well, this was also before that, too.
It was, I think they stopped doing chair shots to the head kind of after it. Like, once they started yeah, because they realized that his brain was, like, the equivalent of an 80-year-old man with
dementia
Alzheimer's.
Dementia payment, yeah.
He killed his family.
He killed his family.
And then himself.
And then himself, yeah.
I think I've heard that story, yeah.
Yeah, so WWE stops doing chair shots to the head.
Unprotected.
Unprotected.
Because used to, they would just, like, hands down.
Take the shots
in the face.
And
then you would just get blasted in the head with a steel chair.
And there were some rough ones out there. I mean, just off the top of my head, the Eddie Guerrero versus JBL. When he bled buckets.
If you're saying chair shots and you don't go to that Rock and Man.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
Where he hits him 17 times unprotected in the head. His hands were handcuffed behind him. In The Rock, he was supposed to do, I think in Mick Foley's books, said he was supposed to hit him 4 times.
And he just kept going.
Hit him 17 times.
And if you want to see a really good representation of that, go watch Beyond the Ring.
Yeah.
Beyond the Mat. Zach used to joke about that all the time and say that he was waiting to get his copy. He finally got it. It's a great documentary on wrestling. And they actually show that entire thing and the aftermath of it where Mick Foley didn't know where he was. I mean,
oh yeah, he was concussed.
He
as
was
hell.
Messed
yeah.
up. So they don't do that anymore. They don't even do chair shots.
Which, but the proper way to do it, air quotes, is you put your hands up and you kind of slap the incoming
to make it
chair
sound
to make
like
it sound a lot worse. And then you still get, just doing like this isn't going to catch everything. You're still getting hit in the head. But so they pretty much did away with all of that.
Which is good.
Yeah.
As cool as it was, it's also
pretty good. It's a great visual, but at the same time, it's
Remember
not worth it.
Remember when Brock Lesnar, took the 2 chair shots from the Hardys?
Mm-hmm.
Hard. I mean, Brock Lesnar
laid into him.
Lesnar didn't protect himself at all. He said, bring it. And he took it. And I'm glad they don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, thank you for letting us have it in the games. Cause like, in the game, you don't have to worry about somebody getting concussed, but I'm really happy. Like, a lot of people say they hate the PG era, but I like
I'm fine with him living past 40.
Yeah.
But here's and this is gonna tie into our injuries talk. And before that, just real quick, we were playing UFC today, you and I, Dalton.
Yeah.
And I made a mention of this, now that you mentioned the game, and thank you for letting us have it. Is it ridiculous on the WWE's part, or is it irresponsible on the part of the UFC, that in the WWE games, women versus women, that there's no blood, there's nothing like that. But in the UFC game, we fought Rousey versus Tate.
It's the same damage models.
Yeah, same damage models. Blood flying everywhere. Now, is it bad to show women being beat up and bloodied, or is it bad to say you can beat a woman up and she'll never bleed?
Well, go back and watch an ECW. I can't remember which pay-per-view it is, but watch
any of them.
Well, no, watch Bill Alfonso versus Beulah McGillicuddy. That's why I don't want to see a woman bleed in the match. That is probably
that
the most. Yeah, that was probably the most bloody match in ECW history.
It was also one of the best matches in ECW history.
Yeah, no, it was a great match, but I don't want to see women, if they're going to act like women wrestling isn't as talented, don't make me watch them bleed. Well, if it's unintentional blood, I don't care, because I get that happens, but I'm happy they don't do that.
I got to say, though, UFC, ECW, in UFC, they're very much more likely to get that kind of physical and bloody, look at Ronda Rousey, last fight, she's a bloody mess.
Yeah.
Because that's very physical. Whereas
she had the perk,
today's
perk from Fallout. Sorry.
God damn.
Today's WWE, I feel like they don't allow their female wrestlers to go out there and really be as physical as they would like. Like, if there was blood during one of those NXT Bayley Sasha matches, I feel like it would have been not even that they would have stopped it, but it would have been earned, and that makes sense. But if you're gonna tell me that Alicia Fox versus Brie Bella
someone bleeds
was stopped for blood, that makes no sense. So it makes sense that the WWE game isn't going to have that kind of blood.
But do you think they should not? Like, what if, and I know we're getting to a whole tangent here, but if you're doing a match in WWF the game and you pick, I don't know, Trish Stratus versus Lita, somebody that downloaded somebody, don't you think they should have the option that if you beat them enough, they should bleed?
Oh, yeah, they should. I see why they didn't bother to put it in.
Just because it doesn't make
sense.
Right.
Now it's like it's just such a non-factor in the Divas division.
Right. And moving on from that, we were talking about injuries. That's a good place to go to because, I don't know who Dalton, you said, that they need to call some more people in or maybe it was Asa.
I think everybody did.
I can't remember 10 minutes ago.
I mean, there's a reason they're doing all these signings.
I think on Reddit they said, 15% of their roster is injured.
Isn't?
And including the top 3 names that they have.
Every champion from last year's WrestleMania is out.
Yep. Every person who left as champion is now injured.
And they also said that this week Sasha Banks and
maybe Paige, but there's
Paige had a concussion.
Maybe Rusev, which that kind of ties into the thing that I talked about before the show. The big internet conspiracy theory is that WWE is now telling their talent to downplay injuries and deny them.
Now, that's only in a public forum, right?
Right.
They're not saying, don't tell us you're injured.
Yeah, they're just saying, don't go to Twitter about it. Don't, post on Instagram, go into the doctor. It's because Sasha Banks went, She even posted something because Meltzer reported that she was injured.
Yeah.
Dave Meltzer, who's been doing it as long as she's been alive, really. He's been reporting on wrestling. And she's like, oh, someone needs to get a life. Like,
Did she really say that?
Yeah. Oh. But so.
I mean, it works for her character, though.
Yeah, but I don't think this is in character.
But it's kind of, you know, like, well, because it looked like her and Becky Lynch were going to start a feud on the main roster.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she's just not on television anymore. So it's like, okay, yeah, you know, you're not injured. You're just suddenly not on TV at all.
Now, are we talking about Paige or Sasha?
Sasha.
Okay. Because it sounds very similar to Paige, too. She had the feud with Charlotte, and all of a sudden she stopped wrestling. Now she's...
Well, to be fair, though, she lost the championship match, and then you can't have a women's story unless it revolves around the championship. So what? why else would she be on television?
But on the same token, she could lose at the pay-per-view and then win on Raw and win the title, and then lose it on SmackDown.
God damn it.
No.
We'll feed you. Baby
we will
that's
get
coming,
there.
That's coming a little bit later.
But yeah, so because Rusev went on Twitter and said, it's just American propaganda. I am not hurt. Just because I didn't go down to beat up Brock Lesnar doesn't mean I'm injured. Now I go to India because they're doing their Indian tour. But
at least they made it into a storyline thing. And that's what's so great about Rusev.
Yeah.
He kept the kayfabe alive.
He did.
Dalton, in segment two of our Teach the New About Wrestling, tell Allie what kayfabe is.
But you're not even teaching her. She knew what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, tell our listeners then.
Kayfabe. I believe that is the belief, or it's the storyline of making people think wrestling is real.
Could you
say
it? No, it's not that I disagree. It's just like,
I worded
wow.
it weird. It is, kayfabe is the suspension of disbelief. It's the storyline.
That's better.
Yeah.
It's the curtain.
Yeah.
Kayfabe is what we,
how in the 80s, Hulk Hogan and, the Iron Sheik they wouldn't be allowed to eat in the same restaurant.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, oh, here's a picture of me and, Xavier Woods and Rusev, hanging out at a barcade.
Yeah. And they've gotten really lenient on that. Do you remember when?
We've had this conversation before too, because like they had to. Like there's no.
With the internet, with the way technology is today and everyone's taking pictures at any given time, it's hard to do that. And I'm glad because at this point, if you still believe wrestling is a real sport, and I know a lot of kids
and you're
do,
over the age of 10.
Yes.
No, I've had some people like, and not.
Well, I have guys that come in here, full grown adults, that ask me, you think Reigns is going to win? I don't know. I hate what they did to him. They cheated him on the last show. I'm surprised he beat them all. And I want to say, like, do you mean, like, in the storyline? Or do you really think he...
Yeah, and, like, I kind of alluded to that at one point. And then they were like, this was a few months ago. I was talking to somebody at my work. And they were like, oh, you think Rusev really hates America that much? I was like, you guys don't realize. He's like, he's not really Russian, is he? And I was like, firsthand, he's built from Bulgaria.
He's Bulgarian.
The Bulgarian. Not the point. But, like, yeah, they hook, line, and sinker think that this is Monday Night Football.
I like Shannon's situation because you know it's fake because that insinuates that someone saw Roman lose. It's funny because he won't do that ever.
And now they're breaking out kayfabe on injuries, apparently.
Yeah, which I...
And if the internet says it,
well, like I said, that's the newest conspiracy theory is that, you know, if there's no, like, you know, full-on reports or...
From the
factual.
IWC.
It just kind of, yeah.
The internet whining.
Oh,
God.
Oh, Joey Styles.
Oh,
damn
Joey
it.
Styles.
You either live... Well, shit, what is it?
You
live long enough to see yourself become the villain. You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Allie, why don't you jump in on that? You're the Batgirl.
We're good at words, guys.
Nailing it.
It was
I'm
in a
Batman
movie.
I'm a fan of Batman. Yeah, I know it was in a Batman
It was in the second
movie. I know.
So anyway, back to wrestling.
Injuries. That sucks.
It does, and that's going to put WrestleMania at risk.
Huge.
Royal Rumble. The Rumble's 2 weeks away now, and look how many people are injured.
My friend Bradford on Facebook posted a joke that basically after the number 30 entrant comes out, that R-Truth's music would hit, and he would try to enter at number 31, and then just because he's confused and he doesn't know what's going on, and I meant to tell, I don't know if I actually commented on it, but I was like, if it wasn't for the fact that I don't think they have 30 people to fill the Rumble at this point, that would absolutely happen. I guarantee you that was the joke that was being built up to.
Well, one thing I have written down on my notes here is that they have actually, according to 411 Mania, which sure enough, I'm sure got their news from another source.
Did they see all 30 guys in an airplane that kind of looked like those wrestlers?
No. My source in WWE tells me that they already have the finish for the Rumble planned. It's already booked.
I would hope so.
I do too, but I know it's going to be
Vince
Roman Reigns.
But it's Vince McMahon, and I see. I don't. Well,
there's no way they've built this up
with,
so much
with
for
how Raw went with Brock Lesnar. I legitimately question who's going to win. I'm not sure now.
I think
I'm not nearly as sure as I was last week.
Reigns is going to win. He's going to start a feud with Lesnar probably, but I don't think Reigns is going to. There's no way Reigns walks out without the title, and that really makes me sad because we talked about it last week. I think that the Royal Rumble was always one of my favorite shows because of the unpredictability when I was a kid.
Yeah, we did.
And now it's so predictable. But with this, you think, okay, now 29 other people going for the title. That's one of those anyone can win scenarios. Except it's not.
Right.
Because it's still only going to be one of two people. Those two people are Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Who else would it be?
Speaking of which, the opening of Monday Night Raw.
Yes, I've got that on here. In fact, let's just talk about Raw real quick.
Okay. The opening of Monday Night Raw, whenever Vince McMahon was saying
the McMahon speech.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, I feel a hallelujah coming on. I was like, we gave up on them being preachers after the heel turn, and you're going to just say that Hallelujah and New Day come together. It's like, God, why don't you just say that 3 years ago they would have been wearing tribal things and they would have been the Nation of Domination 2.0. Like,
Didn't he tell the Usos just...
No, that was Roman Reigns. He's like, you're two generations away from having a bone through your nose.
Yeah, so it's not out of the question. What I hated about that opening segment on Raw, which, by the way, Raw, from what we watched, was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it.
It wasn't a bad Raw.
The Hulu version of Raw.
Yes, the condensed version.
Thank God.
But McMahon's speech, it made me so mad, especially when, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
When he says, where's Dolph Ziggler? Where's Ziggler? You've been trying to reach that brass ring for 10 years. And you can just feel, even though Ziggler gave the, oh, whatever face, like.
No, he felt that.
That was a real face.
That was a reaction. Yeah.
He was mad about that.
Motherfucker, you put me as a caddy to Chavo Guerrero. You made me a male cheerleader. I've had to sleep with Vicky Guerrero.
And then I've clawed and fought and scratched my way to the top where the fans were clamoring to see me. His reaction when he cashed in Money in the Bank was one of the biggest reactions they've ever gotten.
Yeah.
And then they shit on him. And I don't get it.
Especially then McMahon tells him in front of everybody.
Oh, he's been trying to grab that
ring. Maybe you can finally get that ring. And it's like Ziggler's like, I'm like Sonic the Hedgehog. I've got 94 fucking rings back here.
He's the Mandarin.
I've almost got an extra life.
And then he does the Hallelujah New Day thing, which annoyed the pit. Except for New Day's reaction to it.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
Leave it to the New Day to take WWE trying to co-opt their cool factor.
Right.
And actually make it funny.
Yeah. And then,
Big E could do anything and be entertaining.
Yeah, no, Big E. Then he says, then Stephanie McMahon is like, Kevin Owens, you've had the best first year of anybody. If you win this, you can cement having the best first year in WWE history.
Yeah, remember he got that one victory over John Cena.
Yeah.
Once.
Well, and then he won the Intercontinental Championship.
Which
he lost.
Back in the day would mean he was the next one for the WWE title.
Yeah, but that's been forever since then.
That's been forever, yeah.
Yeah,
I miss that. Like, I always thought that was.
I think Shelton Benjamin was the last one I can really remember that had the Intercontinental, and then he was supposed to, but then just never really got there.
Yeah.
Benjamin would have never been champion, because he's black. This isn't a black joke.
Oh, I legitimately thought that was because that to me that's the only thing that was.
Yeah,
that
no, he had held him back. Else.
He was a bad promo. You got to say he was a bad.
He was getting better every time he got better and better.
Yeah. I would say you have to be a good promo to be world champion because that's a big part of it. Because again, wrestling's not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's scripted. So if you've got a champion you want to sell, he has to be able to wrestle and he has to be able to talk and convince you of things. But then I think of Roman Reigns.
Right.
So.
Or Brock Lesnar.
Brock.
Ooh.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar is one of those few examples where you don't have to say a thing.
Right.
You're so big and so intimidating.
He doesn't have to say a thing and they don't make him say a thing.
They don't make him come out and cut promos.
He tells Paul Heyman to say something stupid.
I gotta pay the Jew. That's what he said on Stone Cold's
podcast. Gotta feed
podcast.
The Jew.
Gotta feed the Jew. That's what it was. Yeah.
If
anyone else has said that. But Heyman was listening to that and he probably had tears in his eyes. He was laughing so hard.
Yeah. And Vince was listening going, God damn,
because
Brock
there is,
Lesnar!
When you look at that, there is no reason that Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman should be best friends.
No.
And they legitimately are.
Yeah, they really are.
Just,
well, I feel like Paul Heyman would probably be one of the best friends to have because he's a little bit crazy, but he's also really loyal and smart.
Right.
Like me. And I feel like Brock Lesnar is one of the worst friends to have because he's a very distant, very mean, very angry all the time, and big, like me.
But I don't feel I don't think he's distant. Like, it's the same thing.
Oh, no, he hates. There's a reason he lives on a ranch, like, 20 miles from town.
He's one gun away from being in Oregon right now. No, that was the joke. Go on with your point.
So we had the Vince McMahon, or we had the opening segment, which of course they did because Vince is there. They need to get the whole roster out.
Which was fine. It was a fine segment for what it was. It sets up the Royal Rumble very nicely. Paul Heyman was in during the show.
And then it sets up Roman Reigns being able to defeat pretty much the entire roster in a gauntlet match.
And not only that, but something that I hate and I hate and I hate, and they keep doing it over and over again, and I mentioned it as soon as Stephanie McMahon came out, was, well, it's time for Stephanie McMahon to emasculate another person.
Yeah.
And this week it was Paul Heyman, who she told, you know, go get it done, and made him look like a bitch. And I get that Lesnar came out later and tore everybody apart, and that was supposed to be the comeuppance, but Stephanie McMahon never gets her comeuppance.
Right.
She is that.
She got hip tossed by Ronda Rousey.
Who won't
that
show
back? That was
what
I said, yeah.
We'll be back. It's ridiculous.
Speaking of Big E being entertaining doing anything, after Brock Lesnar came out and trashed everyone, the way he was laying out ringside, with his leg, like, stuck out to the side on his back and just, like, almost, I think his tongue might have been out, but he looked like one of the, like, the chalk outline of the, of, like, old school, like, comic books.
I'm amazed he didn't get in trouble for that.
It's the New Day. They're not going to say anything to him.
It makes you wonder, does the New Day have something on Vince McMahon?
They have to. I mean,
because they're allowed to do so much.
Kofi tackled him, tackled Vince on a plane, so I guess that means he's good.
Well, remember the time Vince McMahon said the N-word? Clearly, he's down with their culture.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, I didn't say the word this time.
I know. Thanks, buddy.
No, so. But.
Booty.
Booty. Not booty. speaking of offensive things to say, the internet was afire on Monday.
Ooh, I know what you're on.
With the back of the bus boys comment that Chris Jericho made, which it turns out
was just an inside joke between him.
Wrestlers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's just if you listen to any of the wrestling podcasts like Stone Cold or Chris Jericho, you sat in the back of the bus with your brothers.
Yeah.
He is friends with the Usos. He said on a podcast, he had the Usos on. He's like, I like hanging out with you guys because you are the only guys that can keep up drinking with me. He's like, I've never met a Samoan that couldn't drink. Like, well, he said, I've never met a Samoan that couldn't work. I've never met a Samoan that couldn't drink.
He never met Tony Rocky Horror. I don't know where that's going.
But no, that was a great segment too. And I remember watching it with you, and he said that, and we were doing the puzzle, and both of our ears.
Each other, yeah.
That was.
And I thought, well, I remember saying like, "Oh, that's going to get him in trouble." Even though one, it doesn't make any sense because they're Samoan. That's not like they're not even like The Rock. They're not half black, half Samoan.
Well, they're minorities.
They're just Samoan.
Yeah. Well, they're minorities. They're Samoan.
But clearly, the back of the bus comment, the first thing you think of is the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
You think of Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense with the Usos, but
But you have
Allie, this is where you come into play. As a non-wrestling fan, you don't watch wrestling a lot. If you heard a comment by a wrestler about other wrestlers who are minorities where he said they're the back of the bus boys, would you be offended by that?
Honestly, because I was here whenever you're watching that.
Yeah.
I was partly paying attention. I knew they pointed out the New Day. I thought he said that to the New Day.
You thought he called the New Day the back of the bus?
Yeah.
Does that make it more offensive if he would have said it to them than saying it to the Usos?
Is that a question?
What is? I mean, because we get it. We're me, Asa, and Dalton, we're wrestling fans, and we get the lingo and stuff like that. But for someone that doesn't watch wrestling.
I will say, too, like, even, cause I didn't watch Raw, I had read what had happened, and I saw that line, and I, the way that the website phrased it made me think that he called the New Day that. And I was like, holy shit.
Cause I felt like I was kind of watching it, cause if I'm remembering correctly, the New Day was kind of around Chris Jericho.
Yeah, they were all rooting for
him. And I thought he pointed kind of back to,
like, back
behind
to the
him. It was like, I got the back of the bus boys.
Yeah, he
here.
Said it, but it was because the Usos were behind him.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho is a smart man, and he's been in the wrestling business for years. There's no way Chris Jericho, of all people, would say something like that.
The only reason I wasn't like, oh my God, is because you two were just a little bit cooler about it. You weren't like, did they really just say that? Did that just happen?
Well, because, and it took, I think someone posted on Reddit, like, this is what he's talking about. And it's a picture of him, the Usos, and Dean Ambrose.
Yes,
at
the
back
of
a tour bus, like, all holding bottles of alcohol.
Yeah. Well, it's like someone pointed out. It's like when you were a kid and you were on the bus going to school, the cool kids hung out at the back of the bus. That's where you got into trouble. And the nerdy kids stayed at the front of the bus so they wouldn't get beat up by the kids in the back of the bus.
Right.
So, but
just
the internet,
maybe find a new name for your club.
True.
So like that's
something less offensive.
Yeah, like the Canadian two Samoans. Something that's not back of the Bruss Brothers.
Don't call them like the tree.
The savages and the guy that's always happy. Like anything other.
The savages and the guy that's always happy.
He's Canadian.
The asylum's open for business.
You lunatic fringe.
God damn it.
But the internet was upset, and then every wrestler came out and said no.
No.
You're overreacting. Thought you guys were smart.
Right.
Stop. And it's a good point when people that are in the business, legitimately, like the wrestlers, They have their own little customs and stuff, and they say it, and then people who aren't in the business but think they are, or people that think they're smarter than they really are, get upset and start calling them to task for it. We can look at those people and go, you guys are idiots, you don't know what you're talking about, calm down. But at the same time, should Jericho be on TV using insider lingo that has no place really in the segment? It reminds me of when WCW used to say things like, you know, they would talk about the script. They would use terms that people that aren't in wrestling don't get to make it sound edgier.
I don't necessarily have as big of a problem as you do with, you know, the reveal. Because
the curtain coming back.
Yeah, because like I said, because now there's no reason to have it. Like, we get it. Like, you don't necessarily need to shine a really big spotlight on the fact, like, oh no, it's fine, he's not really hurt. Like, then that will get rid of the suspension of disbelief. But using, I think, him saying Back of the Bus Boys as, like, a nickname for, you know, his friends, that it's, I don't even know what I'm trying to say with this. Like, it's different than him being like, oh yeah, the script calls for you guys to come in and beat me up now.
Yeah, but does it not strike you very
But at the same time, it's such an insider thing that really, how many people know that off the top of their heads?
And I was going to mention that. You have called us to task numerous times with the phrase, local references get you local work.
Mm-hmm.
This is similar to me.
Yeah.
Where you're using a reference that your friends get, cool, mm-hmm. but look what the outside, internet did. Yeah, the internet said, oh no.
Like, hey, that might be not cool.
So is there, you know, is he wrong for it?
I think if they had some secret clubhouse, like, name that didn't also happen to bring up memories of racial tension and institutionalized racism, I don't think it would have nearly been as big of a deal. I think people would have been like, oh, that's actually kind of endearing. This isn't just like a throw. This isn't just, you know, oh, returning legend teaming up with these young guys because that's what he's getting paid to do. It's like, oh, now, oh, they're actually friends. Like, he's coming to stick up for his friends.
Because I'm surprised by that.
He's doing more for the Usos than Roman's done.
Speaking of Roman.
I wish they had a different name for it, but otherwise I think it's fine.
Well, I heard a good name for him was Two Savages and a Happy Guy.
We're going to gloss over Chris Jericho's best mic, like, insult in a while, calling the New Day Pony Jabronis.
Okay. That was pretty good.
I thought you were about to say Rudy Tootie Booty, and I was going to kick you.
No, that one kind of annoyed me.
That's not a good one.
But the My Little Pony Jabronis made me so happy. Like, I thought that was actually kind of funny.
There are so many references to things from my youth that get on WWE TV now that are associated with wrestling that blow my mind. Yeah. My Little Pony Jabroni with Up, Up, Down, Down doing the Sailor Moon stuff. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I cannot – or even on WWE's website. When they interviewed Sasha Banks, she mentioned Sailor Moon. And I was like, I would never thought I would see Sailor Moon on a WWE anything. Now you got My Little Pony being mentioned. It's crazy what the New Day has done.
You added an extra W whenever you were saying the website name.
www.e.
Double E.
It's like last night with John. We did the show Mr. 100 with Big Johnny, and he said email him at www. I was like, John, I don't think you can email a hyperlink. That's not how that works, buddy.
Yeah. So we covered the opening segment. We covered Jericho.
We're going to Roman Reigns versus the world.
Can we talk about Kalisto for a minute?
Because it ties to a later story. So Kalisto won the U.S. title in a good match.
In an upset, like huge upset.
Yeah.
Against Del Rio.
Which they mentioned, what an upset, one of the biggest upsets in Raw.
It's early contender of upset of the year.
Well, wait a minute. Good job, Kalisto. We're sure you're going to have a long title reign. Let's put a pin in that. We'll get back to it. All right, what's next?
Kalisto lost the U.S. title on SmackDown.
God damn it.
Yeah. Something else that happened on SmackDown.
Spoiler alert, by the way. Yeah. When we're airing this SmackDown.
Oh, no. WWE.com has already posted it.
Really?
Yep. What? WWE.com is one of their main stories is how he has already.
They've done that before.
They have.
Yeah.
It's stupid then, it's stupid now.
Yeah.
God.
And yeah, you just hung your head. Shannon just sighed and hung his head defeated.
Jim Ross pointed out how terrible WWE's 50-50 booking is. And by the way, 50-50 booking, in case you don't get it, is when one person wins
and then
the next loses
week
immediately.
To the same person.
Just
beat.
And they just yo-yo. They go back and forth.
They just trade wins back and forth.
I'm guessing that's their substitute for keeping someone strong. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, we can't keep them strong with our story, but if they win, then lose, then win, then 50-50. Yeah.
They did a really good job, I think, 2 years ago. The Miz and Dolph Ziggler were trading back the Intercontinental Champion.
That was a good job of it. Because that was a conscious effort. Like, it was actually billed as, here are two competitors that are so even matched, you don't know who's gonna win going into it.
Yes. That is not this.
That's not how it's presented. And this is just, okay, well, oh, you're not supposed to remember that Dolph Ziggler lost to Tyler Breeze last week.
Because he just beat Tyler Breeze.
Because now he just beat Tyler Breeze.
Or in the case of Kalisto versus Del Rio, Kalisto beat Del Rio on Monday Night Raw in an upset match, I guess.
Right.
A big upset. As big of an
upset
as Which,
to be fair, it is. He's in his first year.
Yeah, it was like when Del Rio beat Cena
Clean. He was pretty much only a tag team wrestler.
Remember mm-hmm. how excited we were when we heard about it?
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, I looked at 411 today, and one of the big stories, Del Rio beats Kalisto with help from Wade Barrett.
I was going to say, but to be fair, it was Wade Barrett interfered. The League of Nations is kind of, I guess, sticking together for now.
But why?
But
why so soon?
And I know why. I know why, and I don't agree with why. Why is so you can build Kalisto as this big underdog to chase the United States Championship.
Like Roman Reigns.
And then he'll get like a huge, yeah, and then he'll get, you know, his big victory is how it should be presented. But if they're going to do that, you don't let him win in the first place.
Yes.
You
have him lose, get cheated.
Down for a
have
while.
Have Del Rio hold the tights.
Yeah.
And then so he cheated to win. Kalisto gets his rematch. Kalisto gets this close to beating him again. That's when Wade Barrett interferes and he submits.
Yeah.
Make
him chase it.
Yeah. You don't be like, okay, oh wow, he won. I guess they're doing it to prove that, oh, he can beat Del Rio.
I think they're also doing it to prove that anything can happen on WWE TV. They want you to feel that you need to tune in to see things like
that.
There's
so much better ways to do that.
But then when you lose the title on the next show, it goes from being, oh, well, that's interesting too. That's just hot shotting.
Yeah.
Now you're just, it's bad for the future. They look at the WWE as, what can I do right now to boost the rating? And they've done this forever. Instead of looking ahead to how can I keep the rating strong in a month or two, it's how can I pop a rating tonight?
Right.
And it's ridiculous. It's terrible.
And it's ruining the product.
They're
so concerned over something that is, within the next 10 years, probably going to be completely irrelevant to TV ratings.
Yeah.
And they're so focused on losing those that are going to be going down anyway.
Yeah.
With just cable TV, that's a whole nother show on a whole nother time, but... The other thing that happened on SmackDown that I got bothered by, I don't know if you read what happened or
care. I read brief results.
Yeah. Devon or the Dudley Boys beat the Wyatt family in a tables match. They beat Luke Harper and Eric Rowan in a tables match because I guess that feud still needs to happen.
Why?
I don't think this was in the this wasn't in the Hulu version, but the Social Outcast, like Bray Wyatt was cutting a promo, and then the Social Outcast interrupted him, which I think is, if you're going to give me Social Outcast versus Wyatt family.
No.
Which, by the way, the Social Outcast got help from Ryback to chase away the Wyatts.
Well, God, mm-hmm. Yay.
Because Bray Wyatt's now feuding with Ryback. And everything else is just
So at this
insular.
Point, we're thinking, so Wyatt's got to win this feud, right? How many times have we said this? Who's he feuding with now? Zack Ryder? He's got to win this one, right?
Well, yeah, he's going to because they won't let Zack Ryder win a match.
Stay hyped, bro.
God.
Are you hyped?
Why do you have to say that?
Are you hyped for Roman, going back to Raw, Roman Reigns versus the World?
It kind of ties into that. I have a question, because you guys were watching it more than I was, and I barely read the results.
Okay.
Paul Heyman comes to Raw and says that Brock Lesnar wants to face the winner of the Royal Rumble and the winner of the WWE Championship at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He wants a WrestleMania main event. The Authority says no, and then puts him in
the Rumble. Yeah.
I don't fully understand why Brock Lesnar was so infuriated by that.
He does,
because
Brock Lesnar...
Because
if
he wins the Royal Rumble, which, I mean, I get that he feels entitled to a guaranteed WrestleMania main event.
Yeah.
I understand that. But it's Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar has to assume that he's going to have no problem winning the Royal Rumble. He has to assume that then when he wins the championship, he gets that WrestleMania match because he'll be champion.
I mean, I get it. It's just a storyline and that they needed to write him in. But at the same time, if you want me to play devil's advocate and say, why was he upset? If I'm writing the show, it's because, I don't know, he realizes it's easier to beat one person
now
than 29.
Now I have
29.
To beat 20. Yeah. Which, I mean, I kind of get that, but I feel like there should be
they
more.
They just don't do a good
that.
Job describing it, is yeah. what it is. It's the writing. The writing's always been poor.
But couldn't he also kind of act like, this is okay, I was going to make this easy for you, but now I'm just going to ruin half your roster.
He could do that, but thankfully he doesn't have to say it.
Right.
He just did it at the end when he came out and beat everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
It makes Brock Lesnar look like a face.
Which I think that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think that's what it is, because they're just like, oh, Vince McMahon's against me? Well, let's
because that,
fuck everybody.
Yeah.
That and works then, for everybody.
Especially whenever, you know, the Roman versus everyone was Roman versus the heels.
Yeah. Which Roman was winning, wasn't he?
He beat Kevin Owens. He beat, who came after Owens? I don't remember. But he beat like
sad.
Two people and then Vince McMahon ordered them
so
all
which,
to...
Lesnar came out, and then he did seem like a face, because he came out and he beat up all the heels. Then he laid out Roman.
making him the ultimate face.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's Stone Cold. He would go save The Rock and then stun The Rock at the very end.
Which is what they're trying to do for Roman. Like, they want Roman to get that reaction, but instead Lesnar's getting that reaction for beating up Roman. And it's showing plain as day. People still don't buy Roman Reigns as the champion.
I loved whenever he got into the ring in the New Day. We're just like, get him! Get Reigns! He's right there! And he just like, he looks like he's about to just double clotheslines both of them. Biggie took an amazing German suplex.
He did, but I understand it's Brock Lesnar, but I hate when they have people come out and beat up your entire roster.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it. I've always hated it. I hate when Stone Cold will get mad during the Attitude Era and come out and beat up tag teams. Don't do that.
Yeah,
that
makes everyone look terrible. He'd interrupt a tag team match and beat up both teams.
Yeah, like, it just makes you look terrible. I cannot take him seriously.
But even back then, they did a better job of covering that as, oh, well, these were competitors in the middle of a match. They, you know, they're not at 100%. Stone Cold's just coming out and picking on these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't put it as that negatively because he was the face of the company.
And then,
but they had still at least made a conscious effort to explain everything.
And, but at least next week, I'm sure the New Day and everybody will come out to get the revenge on Lesnar. Oh, wait, no, they won't.
Lesnar's probably not even going to be on.
They'll just take their whooping. And
it'll be the show before Royal Rumble, so maybe. I don't know.
It stirs me. Dalton, you were going
to
say something.
Back to the whole beating up a whole roster whenever the Outsiders angle was starting. Like, after, like, the first or second night Kevin Nash was there, Eric Bischoff was like, what do you think? And he was like, I think you just had it look like two guys from WWF came in and just destroyed your whole roster. And that shut him right the hell up.
And speaking of WCW and NWO, I loved when the NWO came out and beat him up about the first four times. And then when it happens every week and no one's coming out to help them.
Right.
It's like, really? It's just like when people beat up Roman Reigns' friends, and you know who never shows up to help?
Roman Reigns. Which John Cena invented that.
He did.
Like, he was way...
He's such a baby... He's a super baby face. We need to get him a beard and a cloth robe, and he could just walk on air and...
Water.
Pin it. Well, there's
no they
water.
Don't like Damian Sandow.
Sizzle?
Sizzle.
Are you excited for Lesnar being back?
I am. I love Lesnar.
Me too.
I was one
so
of
does
the,
Jesse Kimball.
I was on the...
To be fair.
Brock Lesnar is the reason Jesse Kimball watches as much wrestling as he does.
I think Brock Lesnar is the reason a lot of people watch as much wrestling as they do.
Which is fair.
Some people like to look at the perfect man, which is Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to look at the perfect mountain of a man, which is Brock Lesnar.
You like to look at Seth Rollins as well.
We all
She's not wrong. She's not wrong.
Stop acting like you don't.
I was in the minority of people who liked Lesnar as champion in that, like, he wasn't there at every show.
I do too.
Yeah. I know a lot of people had a problem that, you know, it's your champion, he should be there all the time, but to me it did, like, it worked, it made it feel like a special event when
Lesnar's
the
only one that can pull that off.
No, and he is, and there's a reason for it, because if it was anyone else that, you know, if Undertaker came in, like, he might get a pass at it, but at the same time.
But somebody
like
The Rock.
Yeah.
Rock wouldn't have been accepted.
Right.
Well, right when Ace and I started becoming friends, I was going to just bring this up, was right when CM Punk dropped the belt to Rock. And this guy right here hated it.
Yeah.
I remember him hating Rock having the belt. And I think I was cool with it because I was like, no, it makes sense.
It was cool with it if it had been anybody else. But the fact that, and I don't want to get into fanboy mode, but I was a big Punk fan at the time.
Yeah. Well, we all were. Yeah.
And the fact that they took it off Punk, who had worked so hard and just gave it to The Rock to promote his new movie.
Right.
Even though I know The Rock has a loyalty to wrestling, he does.
No, yeah, absolutely. But the difference to me is Brock Lesnar has that UFC history. And him leaving WWE for UFC and then coming back, he brings a lot of that UFC clout with him.
Legitimacy.
Whereas
when
he was the heavyweight champion, when in UFC, you only fight once every 3-4 months.
Yeah.
It's not, you know,
like
it's a big deal. Yeah.
You train for months to get for your fight.
Right. And so, whereas The Rock, you could tell that Lesnar coming back, it was like, okay, here's a big fight champion. Whereas Rock coming back is promotional. It'll work around his schedule.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Lesnar brings a big fight feel. Rock brings a Hollywood schedule.
Right.
That's depressing.
So can we talk about UFC first? Well, not UFC, but the new game for a second.
I have that last, but
okay,
sure.
Okay, no,
no, no. No, no, it's fine.
Yeah, just keep going. Let's just keep going.
Well,
keep
I mean.
Going. We'll get back to it.
Really, I just wrote things down in order that I remembered them. But we can skip around. Let's talk about it. CM Punk in the UFC. The big question is Punk ever going to have a fight? First off, he's 37.
Mm-hmm.
He's been training, but he keeps getting pushed back with injuries and things happen. Will he have a fight? I think that's a legitimate question, but that's not the question we're asking right now. The question we're asking right now, the new UFC game, UFC 2, CM Punk, first off, Brock Lesnar, not in the game.
Nope.
Now that he's gone back to Vince McMahon, Dana White, I think, has cut ties with him.
Well, I don't even think it's that. I think it's as much, it's just, Vince McMahon was like, no, you're not using one of my guys.
So you think it was
thing.
Vince's call, not Dana White's call?
I have no knowledge of it, but that's what I would assume.
Because I could see it going both ways. I could see Vince McMahon saying, yes, I want Lesnar in, because then here's one of my guys in there beating on your guys.
I don't think Dana White's pride is greater than his want for money. And I think him being able to have Lesnar in his game knows that that's going to be a sell.
Yeah.
That's going to be a selling point, so why wouldn't he want it in there?
I want it.
Oh, yeah.
But Lesnar's not in, but CM Punk is in with an 85 rating. And you may go, okay, so what? No, not according to the internet. Not according to the best UFC fan, Tanner Calvert, who is upset that CM Punk has such a high rating considering he's never had a fight. And I think John mentioned it to me, too, wondering, should CM Punk be rated so high? One, it's a game.
Yeah,
it's a game. And it doesn't matter what your rating is. Salty over here picked Ronda Rousey earlier today, who was way higher than Miesha Tate, and I still wiped the floor with him like he was a punk bitch.
That's fine.
Using up your anytime minutes over there? What are you doing?
No, I was going to bring up a point, but go ahead. Keep going.
Well,
I'll get my point.
CM Punk being in the UFC game, one, they're not just going to like not put him in. He's arguably the biggest name UFC has right now.
He's a UFC fighter, but he's never even fought
by contract, but he's never had, but he hasn't had a match.
Especially now that Ronda Rousey is damaged goods.
I don't even agree with that, but yeah, I think a lot of people only liked her because she was undefeated. Now that she's taken a loss.
They were on the bandwagon.
The bandwagon's emptying out. I'm still a huge fan of Ronda Rousey.
Me too.
Ronda Rousey, she's tarnished, her legacy is tarnished. Yeah. Air quotes.
Yeah.
You have Conor McGregor, who's a really charismatic guy, great fighter.
Irish.
Sure is.
Yeah. Real proud of him.
Like I said, great fighter, real charismatic. Like, he could be a star, but he's still fairly new.
Yeah. I beat you with him today, too, by the way.
And then a lot of the older guys are retired and gone. You know, I'm blanking on all of them except for Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell.
Or injured. Anderson Silva is, I don't know if he, I think he might be injured.
I mean, the old
I don't
guard.
Follow UFC hardly at all, so I apologize to anyone listening and screaming at their phones.
Well, this is strictly a CM Punk thing right now.
Because right now CM Punk is arguably the biggest name that they have. That fight, when he finally does, because I do think he will fight. I do think he has one fight in him minimum. He's just got to, you know, overcome these injuries that happen. Well,
my personal feeling is, and I know this is about the game, but I honestly believe Punk will never fight. I think he'll become a commentator. I think he'll be really good at it. Mm-hmm. I think he will really appreciate the sport and be good.
Well,
but I don't think he'll fight.
I want him to. But like we said, that's another conversation. Yeah. It would be like if they put Joe Rogan in. Would people be upset if Joe Rogan got an 85?
I would.
Well,
because it's if you look at it, it's like a celebrity endorsement. Like
the thing that I
brought up in I think you did too. Like, okay, well then why is Terminator in the 80s and 90s in WWE 2K16? Why was Bruce Lee? You know, he never fought a match.
And then Tanner said it was like, well, Bruce Lee created on the fighting style. I was like, all right, let's go back to UFC Undisputed 2009 where they put the three owners of Tap Out in the game.
Yeah. I mean, not only that, and with the Terminator in WWE, I actually have a problem with that because
Terminator should be 1,000.
He should be 1,000 out of 100.
He's a
robot. The Terminator. He's living tissue over a metal exoskeleton.
Every reaction to someone hitting him should be the reaction of someone headbutting a Samoan.
Yeah, just breaking.
No, just it hurts.
So that's stupid.
But no, he's a celebrity inclusion.
And he's a fighter, Punk.
And he is a fighter. He's a legit, he's been training in martial arts for how long now?
It's just like when Lesnar came over from WWE. I understand that Lesnar has a
wrestling background.
And he, he's a champion. But also the fact that if Lesnar had come straight from, amateur wrestling into UFC, he would not have got the big matches he got from the start.
Not at all.
The reason he got those matches was because he was Brock Lesnar, WWF star. Yes.
Because
and Punk is the same way. Punk, yes. Does he have clout already? He does. Mm-hmm. But that's because he's a star.
Yes.
This is a business. You want to make money. Punk's going to make you money.
Right. And you're not going to, you're not going to put him in as like a 50. You're
no.
not going to put him in as a 60.
He's not going to be a 72 because he's new.
Right. It's a celebrity inclusion. He, sure, maybe he doesn't deserve an 85, but there's no reason that he shouldn't have it.
Yeah.
Like, just because he hasn't fought doesn't mean that.
What if he just goes in and just fucking destroys the guy?
I would love that
so much. When Punk fights, I would like for him to win, but I want to see who they put him against.
Yeah.
Because you can't do what they did with Lesnar.
That's a whole other shift.
You can't put,
just put him against like Frank Mir.
Oh my God. Put him against Conor McGregor or something.
Yeah.
Do not do that because he will die.
Right.
It's like when Kimbo Slice debuted for UFC. Kimbo Slice, legendary street fighter. But the moment he got in there with professionals, got his
ass
handed
to him. He's a bum fighter.
He was.
He fights bums.
And cops, occasionally.
Yeah.
A little bit more video game news. The Madden tournament for Up, Up, Down, Down, wrapped up.
Up, Up, Down, Down.
With your host, Austin Creed.
I love him so much.
Who doesn't? the champ wins the Madden tournament.
Over Oklahoma.
Obliterated Oklahoma. Oh,
just proving that Jack Swagger can't win shit.
Oh, now I'm sad. Jack Swagger's one of my favorites.
I like Jack Swagger too. Hunter always told me that Swagger, when he interviewed him, was like the biggest dick. Which,
really?
Yeah, said he was not a nice guy, but he understands that he was tired, you know, all the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so the champ.
It could have been just an off day.
And that trophy was pretty sweet, by the way.
It was. Yeah, I love that he actually even brought it.
Yeah. I loved, did you hear the line? I think it was Seth Rollins. I almost said Seth Rogen.
Oh, and Miz was there, and he was like, I wanted to win it. And he's like, why, to replace that Intercontinental Championship you lost?
Yeah. Oh. And then, so Miz, like, he does the introductions, and Miz is booing both guys. Yeah. Because one, I guess Seth Rollins, he doesn't like Seth Rollins, and then Swagger beat Miz in the semifinals. Smoked him too.
I also like the line. I think it was Seth Rollins. He said, "Don't let Hennig touch that trophy." I don't know why that was so funny to me. But Curtis Axel's just smiling back there, you know. Yeah. I love that. I love Up, Up, Down, Down.
I love those. I wish there was more.
Came in with an up, down, down shirt the other day. I'm jelly.
It
was a great shirt.
I wish they would do more stuff like that on the network.
Yes. I wish that show was on the network and not on YouTube.
I disagree with that. I like that it's on YouTube.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you don't want it to be. Well, not only that, you don't want the WWE
to be completely in control of it. They already kind of are. Like, they're the ones funding it. But
it's not Up, Up, Down, Down brought to you by Mountain Dew yet. Yeah. So we can be happy.
But I would love to see
people are allowed to go
on
there and be themselves.
Because, you know, seeing R-Truth, like that the live stream they did before Raw.
Yeah.
With guys like R-Truth and Becky Lynch and, Mark Henry coming in, like, just everybody, like, seeing them interact backstage.
Is great.
I love seeing that.
I like that better than the promos on wrestling.
Yeah, it just makes me want to hang out with them. So yeah. It just makes me want to be like, can I, like, okay, I'll be a cameraman. Like, whatever.
And it makes you like them more. Maybe it's because we're adults, mm-hmm. and because we know wrestling's fake, and then we appreciate the people that are doing the roles.
Mm-hmm.
Again, fake, quote unquote, scripted.
Right.
So whenever we see the wrestlers backstage interacting with each other, and you can see that they're cool people, then when they go out on screen and they act the way they act, you still know they're a cool person.
Right.
And you're like, well, I like them more.
Well, it even makes me like
people like JBL. I never liked JBL, mm-hmm. but the more I see him in these backstage things with like up,
did
down,
you ever watch
like
the JBL and Cole show?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's legitimately so funny. He's like a cool guy.
The Dazzler.
Oh man, what is it? Chet Layfield or whatever?
Yeah, Clem.
Clem Layfield.
Clem Layfield. I was your cousin! The sit down interview he did with Michael Cole, and Michael Cole like calls it early because he's like, oh, this is just not important. He's like, I played Clem Layfield for you on your internet show! Get back here! It's so good.
That's good stuff.
And then it also makes me like, so clearly, you know, the New Day is friends with the Usos and are friends with at least Kalisto because he's been on a couple episodes.
Yeah.
So them having that like triple threat ladder match then and like just seeing like, okay, these are just like friends being able to work together to put on as great of a show as they can.
Yeah.
Made me just really
Which
excited.
Is so much different than how wrestling used to be where the boys, when they did sneak away together, would just go get drunk, do cocaine, sleep with women. Now they're playing video games and just hanging out backstage.
Yeah.
It's a lot safer. We're real close on time here already. It's crazy. These shows go so quick now. A couple other things I want to mention just before we go out. Eric Young beat Robert Roode for the King of the Mountain Championship on TNA. I don't want it just to be a WWE show, and that's what it's been so far. We were talking about the King of the Mountain Championship, and is it still exists? Does Global Force Wrestling still exist? Mm-hmm. Yes, on both accounts. Global Force is coming back to the UK soon, so it's still a thing. And Eric Young beat Robert Roode for Bobby Roode for the King of the Mountain Championship. I don't care personally because I don't even understand that championship anymore, but I do like Bobby Roode and I do like Eric Young. So congrats.
Yeah, I like both of those guys. I'm sure it was a great match.
Eric Young is one of the most underrated superstars.
100% agree. 100% agree.
Yeah.
Cause it started as like you could only win it. Like I guess the first one was an actual King of the Mountain match, which was TNA's like their homegrown gimmick.
Yeah.
But then it just became a singles title and it kind of replaced the television title. Which was the Legends title.
It gets confusing to me. Very confusing.
But yeah, so that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
All right.
I was about to say, I was going to bring up the Shinsuke Nakamura.
That's why I was staring at you.
Do you want me to do it?
Well, I was going to say the last piece of news. We got about 7 minutes left. We're going to talk more Bullet Club real quick. That ties into what you were talking about earlier, Dalton. The fact that Nakamura is going to report to WWE,
Developmental
soon to work on his style. But AJ Styles and Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, Doc Gallows, have not signed yet. They still are not signed. This is very much reminding me of when James Storm, we were all excited going, oh, James Storm going to NXT.
Right.
Didn't go.
Yeah.
Didn't sign him.
I think it's different.
There's two things that I want to bring up regarding that. One, I saw online, like, they guesstimated what their contracts, like, when the contracts expired and just, like, the boilerplate of those kind of contracts, like, different clauses. Technically, like, WWE, it's, would be violating their contract by going after, like, two or three of those names. So, like, if they called, like, Doc Gallows, before his, you know, there's that opening where he can kind of scout to see if he wants to leave the company.
Yeah.
If they call and try to recruit him before that, they could get sued. I don't know. And that it may not be a Doc Gallows, and there may not be a whole lot of validity to that. It was just internet rumblings.
Yeah. They don't want to mess with contracts.
Right. Basically. And then the other thing is I'm seeing a lot of people being upset that Nakamura is having to be put into WWE's developmental.
He needs to.
He needs to.
And I 100% disagree. I think it's, if you have Daniel, I disagree with them.
Okay.
I agree with you guys.
Okay.
No.
I was like, I want to know this.
No. Circle jerk.
If Daniel Bryan.
I don't know how you're.
Sports center, guys.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry. Go ahead.
If Daniel Bryan agreed and wanted to be put into the developmental system, who is arguably the best technical wrestler in the world.
Yes.
Then you know they're doing something. And especially because, like, AJ Styles, I could see skipping because he's wrestled for an American audience.
He did TNA.
He's used to the hard camera.
Yeah.
He's used to that. Like we said last week, Finn Balor, that was the only thing Triple H said he really needed was just to be taught how to wrestle for a hard camera.
And if I can jump in here for a second, to your point, I don't think it's an insult to these wrestlers to say you need to go to developmental and learn our style a little bit. It's not saying you're not good. It's saying you're good. Now let's make you better.
It's you're good. Let's make you better. Let's make it to where you can take all of your talent that you clearly have and make it work the best for you while you're here under our constraints.
Yeah. Cause there's a lot of guys that used to come into WWF and WCW from ECW or from the indies that never learned their style and didn't go anywhere.
Right.
I think Vampiro. I think Public Enemy. Guys that, even though they may have been over a little bit, could have done so much better if they just adapted, but they didn't adapt.
And I'm not, and I think the sending him to developmental is good for him, not only for him, but for the people that he's going to wrestle. Because we watched Wrestle Kingdom 10. We all three have watched that match. You just need one of those guys that's not an established wrestler. Any one of those guys takes one of those knees incorrectly, and they're going to be out like a light.
Yeah.
Like,
that knee to the back of the head was sick.
Yes, it was.
And if you get a wrestler that does not know how to wrestle to that caliber, does not know how to wrestle that style, somebody could get legitimately hurt.
I also want to briefly mention, it wasn't 10, I don't think, but Kenny Omega's tweet about Shinsuke Nakamura leaving, where he said, oh, don't worry about the rematch. I'll just beat him when he comes back.
Oh, God damn it, Kenny Omega.
Is Kenny Omega not one of the best?
Yeah. Ever? But yeah. Also, and I think this is probably a dumb question, but I want to get your reaction on it anyway. Do you keep Nakamura off of NXT? Do you just put him straight into WWE? If they're bringing him in as a main roster guy, do you keep him off NXT? Because keep in mind, NXT isn't all the developmental. There are countless people down there that are constantly wrestling and training before they're even brought onto NXT. NXT is kind of like that final level of training before you get called up to Raw SmackDown.
Honestly, Nakamura is the only one I would send straight to WWE roster, main roster.
What?
He is. I know that sounds shocking, but I think...
After he gets that training.
Let him train. But, yeah. I mean, with guys like AJ Styles, a lot of people know AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. When he goes to NXT, they're going to cheer like crazy because he's very similar to a Samoa Joe and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think Carl Anderson and Nakamura both, they're new, they're fresh, and even though people in NXT obviously know them, send them up to the main roster, have Nakamura lay out somebody important. Have him start off huge.
Do you want to know my fantasy booking?
I do.
For him? Brock Lesnar is close to winning the Royal Rumble, lights go out, music hits, Nakamura eliminates Lesnar. That's your WrestleMania feud. Everyone says they want it to be Daniel Bryan, but...
Can you imagine,
to look like Daniel Bryan will never get to wrestle again.
I want it to be Styles. But it be Styles instead of
you shut your mouth now because I agree with Asa.
King of Strong Style versus Brock Lesnar.
Can you imagine how Suplex brutal? City. And that's one of those matches.
That's the match that I want to see just because someone's probably going
to
die.
Yeah, and you want to know how to get somebody over nowadays in wrestling? You have them go toe-to-toe with Lesnar and give it back to him. Remember Reigns at WrestleMania?
Right.
So much respect for Reigns.
Booed out of the building at the beginning of the match, but then by the end,
They were on his side.
Because he took a hell of a beating.
And Nakamura will take it and give it back to Lesnar. And I think they could have an insane match. Karl Anderson is the same way. I think you could put him on the main roster and automatically have him go. Styles.
It'd be like if Dash and Dawson did the fusion dance.
Yeah. Plus, I think NXT is getting overcrowded. They keep signing all of these great indie talents and these great, you know, foreign talents in. And that's great until you get to that point where you have too many. Then who do you give airtime to? Who's going to suffer?
Yes.
It needs to go to 2 hours.
Oh.
As long as they don't do what Raw does, if they just stick to wrestling like they always do, which mm-hmm. they have enough people to do it, they should go to 2 hours. Now, what you were saying about, or whoever said that they would send Nakamura is the only one.
We both kind of agreed on that.
Yeah. Nakamura is the only one I'd put on NXT TV.
Just so, because
you have to establish him first. People are not going to know Nakamura as much as they would know the Bullet
Club. I think that's the point, though.
That's a huge topic, too, is because you could even, because we've seen the transition of guys that got big on NXT move to Raw, and it didn't really work that well.
Yeah.
Bo Dallas,
Neville, Tyler Breeze.
I disagree with Neville. Tyler Breeze, yes. Neville's first match where as soon as he hit that red arrow, set star.
Yeah, but like that wasn't WWE getting Neville over. That was Neville getting Neville over.
I think enough of the casual audience that watches Raw and SmackDown but don't watch NXT, I think enough people there would be able to recognize AJ Styles and Doc Gallows. Probably not Anderson as much.
No. Yeah, but if you just make that the Bullet Club, like if they bought the trademark for it, make them the Bullet Club, you don't need to know who.
Whereas the NXT crowd is going to know Nakamura immediately.
Yeah.
Whereas the casual, I feel like if you just throw him in and you give him something big to work with, kind of like they did with Kevin Owens, except don't have him then just lose the next match.
Yeah.
You
have basically have Nakamura be Tensai. Remember when Tensai came back as the Japanese? And he's barreling over people, and he did a good job, but the fact was he just didn't have the personality. They gave him a bad gimmick.
Yeah.
Don't saddle Nakamura with just a basic I'm Asian gimmick. You know what they should, love of Christ.
You know what they should let Nakamura do?
Be Nakamura?
Yeah, damn right.
King Strong style.
Yeah, let him come in and kick ass.
King of Keep Roman looking strong style.
But the thing of it is I think they need to do that on NXT instead, because I think now we're starting to get to that point to where people are watching NXT.
I think we're also getting to the point where people on NXT don't want to go to Raw.
Right. Finn Balor doesn't want to go to Raw.
And that's...
I don't blame him.
I genuinely don't think Samoa Joe's going to go to Raw. I think he signed an NXT deal.
And you know why? Because they're scared.
Because why would you?
That they're going to get Bo Dallas when they get
there. If you're Samoa Joe, you're sitting at home and you watch what happens to Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want any part of that?
Because that would be like, what would I rather do for probably the same pay, at first at least, unless mm-hmm. I hit it off? Would I rather come to Gaming Grounds and be the superstar that everyone loves me? Or would I rather go to like some giant mega store where I'll get lost in the shuffle and dicked over and I'll probably get fired because they won't need me anymore? I'd rather stay here and be a big fish in a little pond.
Right.
Then be nobody.
Although that is the biggest argument is, you know, it's clearly more money going from NXT to Raw, but.
Super important, because I just read something.
And we're going to finish on that, so we're actually over an hour.
It's the dirtiest of dirt sheets.
Oh, God.
But
411 Mania?
I don't remember if it was 411, but somebody got an email of somebody that may have worked in WWE, and so just take this the way I said it.
This is the same guy that may have seen Daniel Bryan.
But this is exactly like that.
Bam Bam Bigelow set to win the Royal Rumble?
Yes. No. Somebody said that.
I got bad news.
That was a joke. I know. Anyway, somebody got an email saying that HR is thinking about releasing Daniel Bryan next week when his contract collapses.
I read that, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, that it sounds like the dirtiest of dirt sheets.
Well, here's one thing, though, with that. No.
Yeah.
There's no way WWE will let Daniel Bryan go.
That is HR suicide, or that is PR suicide.
Yeah.
Because
Daniel Bryan got injured on your watch. He got injured doing for you.
Your schedule as an independent contractor.
And you're going to let him go when his contract's up? No.
No.
Look what they did with Corey Graves.
Yeah.
He got hurt, couldn't wrestle anymore. Triple H offered him a contract to do something else.
Right.
Yeah. But that was something that just popped in my head.
Here's my word. If they release Daniel Bryan next Monday, I will not do the show anymore. Not for WWE.
I'll make it a
wrestling show, but I won't promote them to anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Because that's ridiculous.
That is, yeah, they can't do that. Like, you can't. I feel like that, not only from like a PR, not only the fans' reaction to that, but if you're Brie Bella, Nikki Bella, John Cena.
Anyone that's hurt.
His brother-in-law. Anyone that's hurt. But that is a clear message to the roster.
Yeah.
Don't get hurt.
Don't get too hurt or, bye.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself for us trying to make yourself a star that we tell you to be all the time. Because mm-hmm. the moment we can't use you anymore, you're out.
Yeah.
So So let's see what happens, gang.
That'll be interesting.
You got something to look forward to next week.
The gang quits wrestling.
That'll be the next week's episode. We're going to end it on that note. And once again, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Hope you're enjoying the new style and the new characters on there. I want to thank Dalton, Asa, and Allie for being on here and talking wrestling with us. We're going to be back tomorrow with Tanner Thursday and then back next week with the Royal Rumble predictions. Yep. That should be a fun show. Number one prediction, Reigns wins.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Enjoy the rest of the week. Have a great weekend, and Asa takes out.
Bye.